This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Thanks for being with us here on a Wednesday. Huge night of basketball last night in our state. Two wins and a loss. But we're talking about, you know, the Pistons and their ability to kind of grab your interest and how they have grabbed your interest and what you like about this team. 8-44 a year ago on this date, 28-26 today. Michigan and Michigan State, what would it take to make a Final Four run for two teams that are building strong resumes and could show up on the graphic on Saturday when the top four seeds in each region, the top 16, are seeded in the snapshot of time and the what they do now with March Madness. From an unnamed texter, I am celebrating my bachelor party by getting together with the boys for a Tigers and a Pistons game, both on the same day. April and the D is back, baby. Unnamed texter, neither Michigan or Michigan State can get to the Final Four. They are fundamentally flawed teams that will be exposed in March.
I tend to agree with that. I don't think either team's a Final Four team.
No, but this is, it's not impossible. Like, our question is, what needs to happen to make a Final Four run?
The problem is that what we described, what needs to happen consistently night in and night out.
Yeah, but
and to
still,
try to string that along,
there's still a month
for two games every weekend. I guess
to be able to say that is to be able to say, I've watched every team in college basketball. And these two teams are so flawed that they have no chance of getting past all the other teams in college basketball. Everybody has flaws, with few exceptions. There's one or two or three teams every year that are like KenPom top 10 offensive and defensive efficiency ratings. And frequently it's those kinds of teams that actually win the whole thing. But there are outliers all over the place. And I actually think both teams have enough talent. Now they're going to have to change some things. Do I think Michigan State is going to develop, get Fiddler comfortable to be that three-point shooter? Somebody. Get somebody going. Or I'm not sure that can happen, but I don't think it's impossible. Will Michigan be able to cut down on the turnover? Sure. But whatever. I am so over this team, and unfortunately Izzo, guys, has Fears and Fiddler who refuse to shoot the ball. And while Izzo has no plan to break a zone that most eighth graders run, first weekend exit again, time for a new era.
Now, Fears, Fiddler, Booker are three guys that can clearly give more and need to give more for this team to be successful. And they just haven't. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in it. At the same time, it's like, wake me up in March. You know, oh, they lost last night. Okay, whatever. Were they 19-5? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good basketball team. Is it a great basketball team? I don't think they are. But, you know, good can still go a couple weeks into the tournament. But can it go, or a couple games into the tournament? Can it get to a couple weeks? I'm not sure. But it just, again, because the tournament is everything, the next few weeks are just kind of excruciating to get through so that we can get to the actual tournament.
All right. So saw a story today on ESPN, and it is done by Jeremy Fowler, a pretty decent writer, about, you know, what teams need to overhaul, what teams need to tweak, and what teams need some fine tuning. who's got to rebuild, et cetera, et cetera. And they're basically put into tiers and they answer the question, what's next? So the major contenders are Kansas City and Philadelphia, the two teams that just played for the Super Bowl. The next tier is on the cusp, and that's where Detroit, Buffalo, and Baltimore are. And what they say of the Lions, I find very interesting. The Lions have one of the younger ages, average age of rosters. In fact, if you look at all the teams at the top of the top two tiers, the Lions have the second youngest roster. And of all the teams in the top two tiers, the Lions have the most cap space. This is a great place to be. So think about that. Kansas City, Philly, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Detroit. The Lions have the second youngest roster and the most cap space. And the cap space thing isn't even close. Detroit has $56.3 million in cap space. Buffalo has $10.9. Baltimore has $11.2. Philadelphia has $7.9. And Kansas City has $18.6.
It's a little fool's gold the way I look at it, though, because that cap space will disappear in a heartbeat with one player being Aiden Hutchinson. You're going to re-sign him or sign him to an extension, and it's going to significantly alter that. Not only that, you've got other players you're thinking about extending, and the space will be gone before you know it. But the good thing is that you're hanging on to those players. And those are players that are absolutely part of this team's future and keeps this window of opportunity open for a long time.
So what caught my attention, however, was when they got into the what's next, and there was, you know, talk of locking up Aiden Hutchinson and Kirby Joseph. They write about Detroit has to take calculated risks on premier talent without feeling beholden to addressing depth. They are deep just about everywhere. Detroit could use one more player on the defensive front, though. Perhaps another pass rusher. Then this sentence caught my attention. Detroit can save $12.7 million in cap by releasing DJ Reader and Za'Darius Smith.
Here's the thing. I get it. You want to create more cap space, but you know what? It's not going to allow you to sign players that are better than those two. And it's only $13
million? Yeah.
So I'm saving $13 million by dropping those two players that can play at a really high level? I'm not doing it.
Feels really odd that is even suggested. Look, Za'Darius Smith is a player that at his age, I don't expect his production to go up, okay? I mean, some of the things that make me hesitate about breaking the bank on Myles Garrett are certainly applicable to Za'Darius Smith as well. But he had 9 sacks last year playing for two teams. And if his production goes down, that doesn't mean he's not worth what he's getting paid. And DJ Reader, you know, when he was healthy and playing, they were definitely a better defense. The only reason this could even be in play is if the cap crunch to re-sign people is way worse than we thought. But I would be awfully disappointed if those two... That doesn't feel like enough cap savings to justify it.
No, that's the thing.
Really, I wonder why that suggestion was made.
Well, is that suggestion made because you want to free up more money to take a run at Myles Garrett or one of these other defensive ends that may or may not be available in the trade market? And if that's the case, would you drop both of those players for one? And I think most people would say yes. Would I drop Za'Darius Smith and DJ Reader to take on Myles Garrett or Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or Micah Parsons, I guess? Would you do that? And I think the answer is yes.
I think I would too if you could. Yeah, in fact, I know I would too if you could get one of those players. And look, there's a lot of ifs with that. We've talked at great length about what's the return that's asked for?
Right.
Will these players play on their current contracts?
Because the other thing you'd be sacrificing that when you start doing things like this and looking at it from this angle with the cap space, remember, it's also a first-round pick. So you'd be losing those two players and also the pick of 28, which could be Grant, could be, you know, the edge rusher from Marshall, could be a number of players that you kind of covet, and yet you know you got to give up if you're going to get one of those star players. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to lose these other players from your roster to clear out the cap space.
248-539-9797. Open lines. You want to keep talking basketball. That's still out there. Lions discussion mixed in as well. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, March is almost here, and college basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season. Right now, new customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 bet and win it. That's $150 to bet on everything from conference clashes to tournament upsets, even who's cutting down the nets. Now, I've talked about the workaround for this. At $5 bet, find a big favorite and just bet them on the money line. They will likely win. You will get a very small return on your $5, but you get the $150 in bonus bets. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to get in on the college hoops action before March takes over. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Bregman Watch, day X. So, look, pitchers and catchers report. And, of course, the topic of Alex Bregman comes up. And we'll have a quote from A.J. Hinch regarding Alex Bregman. We all sit here and we wait. Now, a little sleuthing by our guy, Evan, discovered that his wife is 28 months pregnant.
28 weeks.
28 weeks. 28 months. Did I say months? That's a long pregnancy. She's past due.
It's quite a gestation period.
28 weeks pregnant. And that might have, is he waiting to have the child born? 12 weeks? Puts us like into the season. Could that have something to do with it? I guess it could.
Well, her input is probably quite important to him.
I would think so. It's hard to... It's hard to predict when this thing's going to end. It's funny. I feel like there's been guessing going on for quite some time from baseball insiders and whatnot. Buster Olney came out, well-respected baseball voice, and said he expects a decision to be made this week. A TV reporter in Houston named Jeremy Booth tweeted out the following. Hearing Alex Bregman will move towards a short-term deal with opt-outs, as I discussed last week, also hearing it will not be with the Astros.
So this is a guy that's got like 25,000 followers on Twitter, so I don't know, it seems a little bit more reliable than just, you know, Joe's blog.
Yep. With all due respect.
But I haven't seen anybody like Buster Olney or the like come out and say anything that he's ready to go with a shorter term deal with opt-outs. I think that seems to be the logical route if the overall money isn't there that his agent said he could get him. And I don't know. I don't see it. If this is your last contract, Alex Bregman, then I think he's going to stick to his guns and try to get that 6-year deal that apparently there are offers for 6 years out there, but it's capped. You know, is it capped at $160 million? Is it capped? Is the best offer he's got $170, $175, $180? I don't know, whatever it is. But, you know, when you go to a shorter term deal with the opt outs, I'm just not sure that, you know, if betting on yourself is going to get you that awesome money next year at this time. Because you'd have to put up ridiculous numbers to try to, because now you're another year older into it.
Yeah, look, I'm thinking if he goes short term, we're done.
But we shouldn't be, right?
Well,
because if he goes short term, wouldn't it make even more sense for the Tigers to say, okay, sure, we'll up our offer on a shorter term?
It'd be great for us.
Yeah.
I think it'd be bad for him. I mean, I'd love if he agrees to a short term deal with Detroit, given my concerns about his longevity. I mean, that's jump up and down fantastic. But if you're him, there are certain ballparks that aren't great for you offensively. One is Comerica, the other is Wrigley Field, and
well, not great for home runs, no. But could be great for other things.
Yeah, I get it. Of course, and you could have a great chance to be the guy, the leader, the in Detroit. But if he's going short term, it feels like there's a little bit of egg on the face from not taking Houston's contract.
Right.
And so if he's going short term, it's admitting, all right, I've kind of misplayed this. I got to go out and put up, I'm going to bet on myself, put up a monster year offensively, prove that last year was just that, 2 months at the beginning of the season that cost me, and I'm fine. And where's the place that I most likely put up the best numbers that would take me? And it's not Detroit and it's not Chicago, but it's
Boston.
Yeah. And okay. I mean, but if he agrees to a short term, if he's willing to take a short term deal in Detroit, hallelujah.
Yeah.
But that sounds a little too good to be true. But that would work out well. Here's the quote from AJ Hinch. And from Evan Petzold, I get asked about it on airplanes, in restaurants, walking down the street. I live in Houston during the off season. You can imagine how that's gone. It's obvious he's a very talented player and very impactful player and someone who's close to my heart. This is a guy who I'm really close with. I've largely stayed away from talking about it because he's not here. I've tried not to go into the public relations banter on trying to recruit him here, but he can help any major league team. Time will tell where this is and what he chooses. Special guy. Now, that sounds like a non-recruiting pitch. A non-recruiting pitch recruiting pitch from a, I'm staying out of it. I want a blanket statement that I don't talk about it. But is this someone who's close to my heart? Special guy? He can help any major league team? I mean, he's saying the things that lead you to believe he wants them.
Is it like coming out and saying, I love pizza. I think pizza's great. Everybody loves pizza. The whole family is satisfied when we get pizza. Can't get enough of it and really look forward to it. I mean, I can't say what's for dinner tonight. But I do love pizza.
I don't know if it's like that at all, but it's funny.
Right.
That's funny. You put in your show sheet, are we in the throes of Bregman fatigue? I imagine there's a lot of people right now out there listening to this going, yep.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there's a lot of people in Houston going, yep.
I read some things, some comments that people in Chicago are feeling the same way.
Really?
Yeah. This is what happens when it drags out this long. And when you get little reports or rumors that your team has made an offer and he still hasn't accepted it. That's whether you're a Cub fan, a Tigers fan, an Astros fan, or maybe even a Red Sox fan or a Toronto fan for that matter, because there was a report that came out late last night by one of the other writers that said that I'm hearing all five teams are still in it. It's like, okay, great. There's so much misinformation out there that tells me that Scott Boras is being active and talking and leaking things. Things have to come to a head. And this is creating more Bregman fatigue.
So, I mean, do you blame... I feel like, to be fair, this is clearly a difficult decision.
Yes.
There truly isn't a hard deadline. The teams that have made offers, if they've given them a hard deadline and they've passed, we don't know about it. They've given a hard deadline and it hasn't passed, we don't know about it. If teams have all said, take your time, then what he is doing is mulling over what seems to be a very difficult life decision, which we all should be afforded the right to do. Now, given sports are different, we feel an ownership of the team. It's an emotional ownership, but we feel an emotional ownership. And you always want guys that want to be here, said every fan base ever.
Right. This feels like The Bachelorette. Alex Bregman is The Bachelorette. And you're down to like the final three Bachelors, right? You've invested a little bit. You've put forth your best effort. And now you're just awaiting the decision. Am I getting the rose? Who's getting the rose? Only one of the three of us is getting a rose. And the other two are SOL. So what's it going to be? And, it is what it is.
This analogy makes more sense, I think, than your pizza analogy.
No, I want you to go for a third one.
You want me to?
Yeah, I wanted to see how many you could do in one segment.
Yeah, he's got the pizza. I love pizza. I'm just not saying what's for dinner. You've got the Bachelorette. There's three bachelors sitting there waiting to see who's going to get the rose. You're kind of on a roll.
Keep going, man.
And the Bachelorette one applies here.
It's like you go to your friend's house. And they got a dog. And it's a real friendly dog. A real friendly golden retriever. Dog's happy to see you. Comes out, you're petting. You're like, oh, this is who you want to go home with me. Do you want to go home with me? Dog's all excited. And then the owner goes, Stanley, let's go. And the dog takes off and leaves. And we feel like we're the team that's been bidding on that dog, and that the dog just ends up going back home to Houston.
It's a bottomless well of analogies, people.
One more useless than the next.
It's like your wife's 28 months pregnant.
Are you going to give birth to a 42-pound baby?
Can that baby play third base?
Right. Yeah, should we be recruiting the Bregman child?
What will be the war of this child?
All right, so here's the question. Is this Bregman's fault or is it Boris's fault? Because I think Boris here, in some ways, I think he got terrible advice from Boris.
But in the same vein, they've done this. This is baseball. Year in and year out, there are guys that sign as free agents late in the process.
Yes. However, do you think that in the end, there's a probability here that he's going to wish he just took the Houston offer, financially speaking?
Potentially, I guess, but I don't know what the other offers are. I mean, let's say that Houston upped it to $162 million, and the Tigers come in at $172 million, and he doesn't want either one of them. What he really wants is for Houston to go up to 172,
yep,
because he doesn't want to have to uproot his family.
Well, let me get to what I'm getting at here. At 248-539-9797, have you ever received terrible career advice? Terrible career advice. Did anybody ever tell you something, whether you followed it or not, in retrospect, looking back, terrible career advice? I mean, I've got two stories, but I'm wondering if this turns out for Bregman, where he gets just a small, like that Boris cost him by telling him to get to the open market, I'll get you this, and he doesn't. Have you ever been on the receiving end of terrible career advice? It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 97, won the ticket. Need a Valentine's Day idea? Looking good and feeling good while working out is as important as the workout itself. What better way to promote a healthy lifestyle while looking good and showing respect for everyone than with Show Some Gear for Valentine's Day? This week, purchase anything and get a stylish, comfortable sports bra for free. Use the code VALENTINERESPECT at checkout. Show Some Athletic Apparel's women's line of leggings, sports bras, limited edition fleece sweaters. It's better than any workout gear out there. And because Show Some loves its customers, don't forget to use the code VALENTINERESPECT at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. Doug Carr, Scott the Gator Anderson, if this Boris thing and this whole Bregman deal, you know, turns out that it is not, it's not in his best interest. We were wondering, have you ever gotten terrible career advice? 248-539-9797. Two things that I was told early in my career when I was flirting with the idea of getting into broadcast media. I was told that I could not do radio because I didn't have the pipes for it.
The voice,
the big booming voice, which I think there was an era of radio where that was absolutely a necessity. And I was told you can't do it with that voice. Now, is it what it is. I mean, it's, you know, but
sorry, folks. It's only as sexy as it can be. That was bringing sexy back 25 years ago.
Whatever it is, I was told that. Nope, you can't do radio. Don't have the voice for it. The other one, this may be my favorite, is do you want to change your name?
Hmm.
Yep. Do you want to come up with a different name? Because a lot of people in our industry have fake names.
They'll change the name.
Yeah, they have fake names. And so I was sitting around with my boys, and this was years ago, and we decided if I was going to change my name early in the career.
This is fun.
That we were looking for something strong, you know, what would be a strong name, and we decided we didn't need to change Doug, but the last name Karsh had to go, and we landed on Sterling. And so, you know, this is a bunch of 23-year-olds drinking beer, and I'm like, okay, here's what I've been told. So it was going to be Doug Sterling, and then we were like, actually, Sterling is a first name.
Yes, it is.
And then we inverted it.
Sterling Doug?
Sterling Douglas.
Something so powerful, like if it was in bright lights, it would explode. is that what you're going after, Doug?
Yeah, with like,
I know this is
purple,
a movie reference. I don't know what movie this is, but what movie is this?
Feel.
Oh, is that that? Oh, I've actually seen that.
And I see it up there. Dirk Diggler.
Should have gone with that.
I love it.
Yep.
It's like a slow explosion around it.
You rolled on the rehearsal?
Sterling Douglas, huh?
Sterling Douglas. There were other variations off Sterling, and then,
you don't need to go any further than Sterling Douglas. You had us right there.
I'll never forget my buddy Sean. How about Sterling Tripod is what he thought my name should be. And I'm like, that's
yep. Yeah, back to Dirk Diggler.
What career are we going to do? Are we still talking broadcast?
Yeah, you sure this is radio?
Or video?
You have an OnlyFans page?
Yeah. I would guess, again, that, you know... This is some career advice that it turns out probably wasn't great. Let me put it to you like this. I don't think we'd be doing a national show making 10 times as much money if the name were Sterling Douglas.
No.
I don't think it really mattered all that much when it was all said and done.
No. I'm trying to think. At one point in my career, I was offered to switch stations and do updates. And this was where I was just getting kind of started as a producer and getting a chance to cover some teams and stuff. And I said, to do updates, it feels like it's a big step back from where I was, my career was going. Mm-hmm. And this person was a general manager at the time. Said, no, I think you should. I'm like, okay. I ignored it. Like that's not going to happen. Things worked out just fine for me. I'm very happy with my decision. And as I look back on that, I think that would have been a horrific choice to make.
Is that right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's jobs that you didn't take that turned out to be great, great decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered a job by a network that went under shortly thereafter. And I was strongly considering it. But anyway, have you ever gotten terrible
career? Sterling Douglas.
Yeah.
God, that's good.
You like that?
Yeah, that is good. My best friend out of college was going to, he was working at MTV and was also trying to get some acting gigs.
Okay.
So he got some headshots taken and thought he needed to change his last name. Last name's Italian. It's very long and kind of, it would be butchered by people than pronouncing it. So he decided he was going to keep the first name. First name is Guy. He changed the last name to Hunter. I have a headshot of his it says on the bottom with Guy Hunter.
Guy Hunter with a headshot.
It is spectacular.
He went with Guy Hunter.
He got, I think, one or two kind of walk-on type roles and stuff, and that was pretty much it. But the nickname of Hunter, it stuck with a very small group of friends of his that out in the East Coast when he was out there for a couple of years. And those guys to this day will still call him Hunter.
Will they?
Yeah, which is hysterical.
That is
pretty good. Fact that I have that picture, that headshot, is great because I don't know if there are many of those around And every once in a while, I'll send him a copy of the picture. Like, hey, man.
Good old Guy Hunter.
Hunter, yes.
I'm an employee of the federal government. This is from an unnamed texter. My dad pushed it hard growing up due to job security. Looking like a swing and a miss right now.
Well, that is some litigation. You may be okay. Did you get a buyout offer?
Don't know. Scott says, bad career advice. I was recruited into switching jobs to a new place that paid more by former coworkers who went there. It turned out to be a dysfunctional mess of cliques and con artists, and I went back to my old job within 2 weeks. That company no longer exists. Well, based upon the way this is working out, we don't know what's going to happen with Alex Bregman, but it is possible that Scott Boras gave him terrible career advice. Did you ever get terrible career advice? 248-539-9797. There's some of it, you know, like there are really, really good career advice that I've taken to heart and it's worked out. And then there's bad career advice, like go to that network that went under, change my name, can't do radio because of the voice.
You want to think of something else. Is that what they say?
Yeah, you might. Well, it was not radio, is what I was told. In fact, I was told print media.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because the voice didn't matter for print media.
Spelling does.
Spelling does, and that is not a strength. And that was pre-spell check days. Yeah. So,
were they taking a shot at the way you look, too, Doug?
So, I don't know.
Back then?
Go print media. Maybe that's your route.
Well, the funny thing was, is that like my first full-time job, well, my first job in the media was television. I was a shooter, but then ended up being a fill-in sports anchor, which was...
You'd be a good shooter though, man. You're tall.
Yeah, well, I was very useful at the Buick Open in Flint because I could shoot over people.
Gator, didn't you want to go to LA too with your friends and be an actor or something like that? Because if you did, Scott Anderson's a very plain, common type name. You probably had other names, I gotta imagine.
Yeah, like you're thinking I didn't get to the point where I started going with fake names.
Mm-hmm. You would have been the best at it. My God, you coming up with fake names?
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yep,
that's why I'm asking.
I mean, I had the name that I made up for the over the top sports guy, the Shep Matthews. How?
Shep Matthews would have worked.
Lions take down the Vikings, 45-20. We got highlights. Let's check it out. So Shep Matthews
Which,
was
by
good.
The way, people tied into Matt Shepard, and it wasn't nothing, in any not way even, whatsoever.
Not, nothing to do with any of that. But I still like doing that voice. But Shep Matthews would have been that's a great name, I think.
Well, is it your middle name?
Yeah, Shepard, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like Shepard, looking back on it, would Shepard Scott have been good?
Shepard Scott's a great name.
Shepard Scott. Now starring Shepard Scott.
Yeah.
This could have been...
With a cameo by Sterling Douglas.
Sterling Douglas and Shepard Scott. Middays on 97.1 The Ticket. Did you ever get terrible career advice? 248-539-9797. Hey, warm up your winter with these hot deals from Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Right now, lease a beautiful new 2025 Chevy Blazer for just $364 a month with no money down. That's 2-year lease on a Blazer LT front-wheel drive with zero down. Unlock the savings with your GM employee discount and Chevy lease in your household with approved credit. Don't forget, Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. That means they have a huge inventory of Silverados, Equinox, Blazers, Trex, and electric vehicles. Hundreds on the ground to choose from. Stay warm and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH or go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. Some program we're getting some funny feedback. We've wondered if you've had any point in your career where you had terrible career advice. And look, we don't know how the Alex Bregman thing's going to play out. Maybe Boras is giving him great advice. Maybe it turns out it won't be great advice. But have you ever gotten terrible career advice? And what was it? 248-539-9797. We've discussed the basketball last night. The Pistons getting on people's radar is really cool. Winner 132-92 last night in a game in Chicago that wasn't even really that close. Pistons are now a game and a half clear of the play-in round. And we got a tweet late last night from a listener named Reno Tuff, who, and I'm assuming he's in Reno, Nevada because of what he tweeted, just caved and bought the NBA league pass for the rest of the year. The Pistons have my attention now, Detroit basketball. So if he, you know, out of market, had to get the league pass to be able to watch him. But, you know, the truth is there's a lot of people that are like jumping back in on a team that 1 year ago at 8-44, I'm going to guess you weren't as dialed into the Pistons as you are now. Over 500 and going to be over 500 headed to the All-Star break. 2 years ago, they were 15-42. 3 years ago, they were 12-44. We get to this time in the calendar, there's a lot of reason to give up. Not with this group. 248-539-9797. How have the Pistons impacted your sports viewing? You're watching. Are they appointment viewing? We had people buying K jerseys earlier in the show. A guy got tickets to a game because of the way that they are playing. How have they impacted you? Michigan and Michigan State fans, look, Spartans with a disappointing game last night, but it's the college basketball regular season. They're still trending to have a decent seed. The first look at the March brackets and what the committee is thinking come out on Saturday. They do that snapshot in time. Here are your top 16 seeds. Both Michigan and Michigan State have a chance to be in it. Michigan boosted their resume with a win over Purdue. They moved up one spot in the NET rankings. With that win last night. And we've asked the fan bases at 248-539-9797, what needs to happen for your team to make a Final Four run? What do you got to do to make a Final Four run? What would you like to see change? Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. I was recruited to go to a university to work at their radio station. 2 days after class started, the station tried to shut down their sports program, and the GM that recruited me took another job. That's unfortunate. Bad career advice. Recruited by a company that wanted me to build an offering and a team. Made all kinds of growth and commitment promises. When I got there, they wanted me to lay off 200 employees. It was a toxic culture, gone in less than a year.
Wow.
Unnamed texter.
It's a little bait and switch. Hey, why don't you build your own team? Oh, by the way, to do so, you're going to have to cut the force by 200.
Yep.
Save a few guys you want.
Stoney's dad suggested he become a telegraph operator, but he was interested in the new medium of radio.
Go talk to that kid Marconi. See what he's up to. That's me.
You and your buddies, Alexander Graham Bell. Go figure something out.
Hey, Alex.
Another guy, Sarnoff. Sorry, we're getting into radio history class.
Worst career advice was in high school. Use some career finder site. And I remember mine was garbage collector, comedian, and live performer.
Sounds like a great combo. Get a lot of good stories from being a garbage collector that you can tell on stage.
That's what was produced. That's quite a gamut.
Yeah.
My dad, I remember my dad took one of, you know, like, you know, he grew up in the high school, probably in the late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They had like these tests that you would take that advised your careers. I think he got FBI agent.
Wow. Do you ever think that maybe he lived a double life that you don't know about?
Right.
Hey, Dad, were you subtly letting me know that you were in the FBI all these years? Went under the cover of being a professor in Michigan. Am I supposed to read into that? I can't talk about it, son.
Yeah.
When can you?
When they let me out.
No, I don't think he was hiding anything.
Why was there always a van across the street that was Flowers by Irene?
Yeah, why?
Why?
Like Jack Burns?
Did your dad have unusually great reflexes?
Does he have a secret room in the basement? With a lie detector machine? 248-539-9797. Anyway, did you ever get any terrible career advice? There is news, Gator. Mentioned that the Tigers spoke today, and there is news out of Lakeland. It is that Alex Cobb will not be ready for the regular season. Free agent signing has a setback. It'll be about a month. Likely won't be ready for the opening day roster, which means there is a spot on the roster available for another starting pitcher. Thankfully, they do appear to have depth in terms of starting pitching.
Yeah, this is definitely a good thing for the Tigers, that with the depth to absorb that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to start behind, but if it looks like it's going to be a month behind schedule, just breeds more competition, right?
Yep.
And out of that competition, you should get something good out of it. So let's hope that's the case. The early news out of spring training, there's some interesting stuff before the crack of the bat starts getting to the thud of the mitt and all that. But Jackson Job apparently is developing a curveball with a high spin rate that they really like. That's Evan Petzold from the Free Press had a story about that. That's encouraging, you know, for a guy who's competing for a rotation spot and is one of their top prospect. Excited to see what he can do, a guy who can reach triple digits and all that. We're very excited to hear what he can do, and we'll pay close attention to that over the next month. But they've got options for that other starter spot. So really curious to see how the competition hashes itself out over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, look, the Cobb signing, I don't think really energized the fan base. And, you know, when you sign a guy at his age and the early return is that he's hurt, this is a 37-year-old starting pitcher who in the last year had three starts. Maybe they knew this when they signed him, that it was going to be a minute before they were going to get some use out of him. Part of me feels like this is the next Detroit Tiger Fetter project that becomes trade fodder at the trade deadline. Yep. But if he's pitching well for them, are they in a position where they're going to sell these guys off anymore? It doesn't seem likely. But on the injury front, Javi Baez is expected to be ready for opening day, coming off a surgery on his hip. I feel like almost every Baez topic is simply met with straight hostility. You know, the probability of him living up to the contract is minuscule.
Yeah.
And so it'll always be just looked at as with hostility. The question they have is, if they have to pay him anyway, at some point they're going to reach a breaking point where the money left on the contract doesn't dissuade them from cutting him. They're going to have to pay him anyway. So they're trying very hard to squeeze something out of that.
Yeah, can he be average? Can he be a guy who goes out there, hits 250 with occasional power and has an OPS of 725? Can he be that?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps cut down his strikeout rate, and not even just a little, like significantly. He can go from striking out, like if he's not going to be an everyday guy, can he strike out less than 100 times? If you're not going to play every day, because if you played every day, he'd strike out 150 plus.
Right.
You know, can he give you that? I don't know what he can give. I have some hope, but it's not a big percentage of it. I have some hope that this surgery he had will allow him to swing the bat the way that he was swinging a few years ago. Now, will it affect his eye at the plate? That I don't know. You know, but will he be able to make contact with the ball at a better rate than what he has with the Tigers? Is this everything is this the thing that really held him back, or is this just another thing? My guess is it's just another thing, and that we're going to be talking about Javi Baez halfway through the season again and saying, when are they going to buy him out?
Yep.
It's a lot of money still.
Sure is. Hey, just a reminder to download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket on the app for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. You can win $20,000 plus you and three friends will stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. So make sure you download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket. Gator?
Doug?
ESPN writer, winners and losers of the offseason. Three teams are listed as winners. Three teams are listed as losers. The Tigers made one of those lists. We'll tell you which one at 12:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.